Today, I'm joined by Jean-Charles Hu, director of Manche de Mort. And also, since it's going to be an international kind of little live show, we're going to have some French as well. Angela is going to help me here. So, Angela Cherby, thank you for being
Hello,
here.
Hello, everybody. So, it would be like flawless for you, maybe.
Maybe, no. Yes. Yeah, well, it's going to be a big test for you.
Exactly.
But, Jean-Charles, so you're here in Torino 32 with Manche de Mort. Already a really kind of peculiar title as well. In fact, I would like to ask you if perhaps you would like to change it for the English kind of version of it instead of saying "Eat Your Dead."
Moi, j'aimerais bien. Moi, j'aimerais bien. Comment dire? Garder le titre exactement comme ça.
You just said it would love to keep that title, but it's pretty impossible because there is no way to translate it. Because in French, that expression is more like an invitation to fight. To fight to save your honor, the honor of your family, but there isn't the same translation in English to give the same impression.
You definitely have this sense of honor and dignity as well, and a really deep look into this incredible culture and people, which is the Yenish community.
Oui, la question de l'honneur.
The question of honor should be everywhere, should be present everywhere, but in this is more groups, especially the small ethnic groups. Everybody wants to save the community. The life of the community is really central. So everyone in his own way, men, women, and kids, must be able to preserve the honor of their community. And it happens, I mean, it's more visible in small groups than in big cities.
And in fact, the community as well, it's you kind of... By watching the film, you have this sort of idea of an endless story, you know, something very specific somewhere, sometime in France. But actually, it's nowadays just outside Paris. There's a kind of idea of like, you know, the suburbs that in theory, civilization or the big city is just behind the corner.
Yeah, tout à l'heure, je citais une phrase de Herzog qui disait...
Werner Herzog said that I will have to film On the Moon as... civilization is invading all the world everywhere. So this is what I want to show by shooting in the countryside around the south of Paris. This community that is not wild, they have rules, very strict rules, but that are not the same rules that the civilization have. But this for him was very clear as a final point of the film to show how these people are not wild, are not like savages. They have very, very strict rules that are not ours, but they can preserve the community as well.
And the acting actually is phenomenal. I mean, you're really struck by the performances. And then I actually found out only at the end of the film, when I looked at the credits, that we were seeing actually Fred Durkheil, Michael Durkheil, real people, Jason. So I was like, oh, wow. So are we actually seeing the real Durkheil family? Or you also worked a lot on to kind of creating these almost Western figures? How much we see in the real family and...
80% de l'histoire du film, c'est ce que l'on a vécu moi.
Well, actually, the 80% of the plot of the movie is based on its own experience 13 years ago in one single night. Actually, the movie is dedicated to the guy that night was driving the car. So when they wrote the movie was written based on that specific night, on that specific memories. And... it changed something and he adds some new stuff. Basically, the end of the movie where there is a baptism, the baptism was not happening in those years. But the guy that is baptized is himself, because in that night he was a virgin. It was like, it was the first time they was dreaming with this guys to steal something. And it was astonished that to understand that in France it was possible to shoot somebody that easily just because he tried to steal a car. So for him it was really like the baptism to a new world. Mm-hmm. This is why I put this final scene that was not actually happening. This was recreated.
And it's striking also, as you said, that the kind of the Western side of it, so this sort of idea of like law or not law, the territory, yes. The actual environment, how important it is. And all this kind of, I don't want to ruin it for the people that are going to see it, but all this goes into this beautiful climax of the standoff I'm just going to say that. The standoff with Frederick and the police. And those words really stuck in my mind as well.
Yeah.
And I want to know if actually Frederick put something of himself into that little monologue without giving too many details, because people are still going to watch it today and the next days in the festivals, and also, I really hope, all around the world. But yeah, I just want to know, like, when that moment when you actually had to direct it, how much Frederick is in there as well of his own words, and how much you directed it.
Quand il est devant la police.
Ben voilà, ça c'est une scène que bon bien sûr cette scène-là on l'avait pas vécue cette nuit-là.
Basically, the climax scene of the confrontation with the police is inspired by something that happened not that night 13 years ago, but on another night to the guy that the film is dedicated to. Basically, he was confronted by a police while he was trying to steal a car. And normally, when they try to steal a car, if police is threatening them, they run into them in order to make way to run away. But in that specific night, that policeman was put in a way that if the guy ran into him, it would have killed him.
Right.
So it would have cut him in three halves, basically, because it was between the guy and the car.
Yeah.
So what it was forced to do, it was forced to drive away in the fields and run away, and it's when the policeman shot him.
Right.
So the day after, the morning after, the guy went to the police. He asked to talk with the guy that shot him, and he told him, listen, I'm doing my job. I mean, I am a thief. You are a policeman, so you have to do the job. I'm doing mine, but I'm not here to make orphans. So next time, if you want to shoot me, but you have to stay in your car, because otherwise I have to kill you running against you. So this is basically, when they shot this scene, he told Frederick, the character, to put in this scene what he remembered that happened that night, because he was there that night, because he was with his uncle where he was teaching him how to steal cars. So he had to put what he lived and to act.
To act, yeah,
too, course. Because he was the old crew and everybody. So for him, it was very difficult. So those guys are natural actors.
Yeah, of course.
Because he couldn't make this up. You know?
And Pierrot, actually, the guy, he got 30 years in prison, you said, for that kind of...
32.
32 years. For that kind of actually, to go and stand up... Well, there you go. So, like, reality sometimes can be much more than fiction. So, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank
and hopefully this will be also a very good teaser for people to go and watch this film, because it's really worth it.
Yeah.
And thank you again, Jean-Charles. And we are here for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.